Morning. Today's Daf Mav Mitzvah, Zayin Vav. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf Tafas. We are starting today at 9 a.m. at Aleph. We are at the Mishnah on the very top of the Amud. Lo yamar adam l'chavera aveni kor chitim v'ani atin l'cha l'gorin. Person shouldn't say to his friend, lend me a kor of wheat. Of course, it's a substantial amount. And once again, we lead to the problem of borrowing commodity and paying back commodity. The issur derabbanan of sabasa, which we introduced ourselves to yesterday in the Mishnah. We talked about it previously already in the Perek and certainly in the Masechta. But the Mishnah over here tells us very straightforward that you can't do that. You can't borrow a kor of wheat. And I'm gonna pay you back at a later point in time. Ava omer lo haveni ashi avo bni or ashi emsa mafteach. However, if you say, go ahead and lend it to me until my son comes back. My son right now is, he has it, or I have the key, but it's in my house. So in other words, this is a scenario in which you have Yeshlo. Now Yeshlo we talked about already extensively in terms of solving the problem of making a forward contract. Over here, we're talking about just simply lending commodity. What the Mishnah is telling us is that you can lend commodity in the event that you already have it. Yeshlo will also be a way of avoiding the Issur D'Rabbanan of Sa B'Sa. Rashi on the Mishnah writes, Kevin D'Yeshlo Shapir Dami. Since he has, so then it's no problem. The Ha Sa B'Sa D'Rabbanan Hu, the Lav Neshech D'Raisa B'Chi Yeshlo Lo Gazer. This is Exer D'Rabbanan of Sa B'Sa. And if you have the commodity on hand, it's just inaccessible. That's fine. The Chachamim didn't make it zero of Sabasa under such circumstances, so therefore it would be okay under those circumstances. The Hillel Oser, Hillel says even under such circumstances it would be prohibited. V'chein haya Hillel Omer, lo t'laveisha ki kala chaverta, asha ta'aseh adamim. So Hillel was so stringent on this issue that he told people don't lend bread to your neighbor with the expectation that you're going to get paid back in bread until you evaluate the value of the bread. And so now you set it up as a, not a commodity loan, but an actual loan. So now the value of the bread, let's just say, is $5. So now you know that you have to pay back $5. That's fine. Meaning the only problem with Sabasa is because if I get back commodity in exchange, it may be of a different value. Once we appraise the bread at its current value, and then I get it back in return, so then it would be fine under such circumstances. Exactly as the Mishnah says, because if we don't evaluate how much the bread is worth, so then I'm going to get paid back at a later point in time. It may be worth more, and that may be in violation of the Isser of Ribis. So now, we said that Yeshlo will solve the... solve is not the best word. But Yeshlo will avoid the issue of Sa'a B'Sa'a. So as long as you have... Question, do you have to have the amount commensurate to that which you borrow? Meaning, is Yeshlo going to require you to have exactly the amount that you borrowed, or Yeshlo just simply means you have of it, but you don't have all of it? So that's exactly what we're discussing right now in the Gemara. I'm Rav Huna Yeshlo Sal Lo V'Sal, Sasayim Lo V'Sayim. Sasayim. So Rav Huna says, look, if you want to borrow a commodity from your neighbor, and you must have exactly that which you borrow, or at least I should say, at least that which you borrow. If you don't have that, so then you can't borrow. So if you have a sa'ah of whatever you want to borrow, the commodity you want to borrow, so then it's just right now inaccessible, but you have it, so then you can borrow a sa'ah, but you can't borrow a sasayim. If you have sasayim, so then you can borrow a sasayim. Rav Yitzchak Amar Afili Yeshlo Sa'ah Lova Aleha Kama Kurin. And Rav Yitzchak says no. The requirement to have does not mean that you have to have commensurate. It just simply means you have to have. And it could be a representation. It can even be a small representation. If you have a saw, you can borrow kama kurin. You could buy, a kor is equivalent to 30 saw. You could borrow multiple kor based on the one saw that you have. So it just simply needs to be representative of that which you have. You don't have to have the whole amount. Tani Rabbi Chiya Lisi. I don't know. I don't know.
For the purpose of business only, or like a neighbor going and asking for something?
No. This is talking about borrowing commodity.
Business?
No, not necessarily business. Even neighbors.
Neighbors.
Anytime you're borrowing commodity, so you are.
A bottle of oil.
You're right. Correct.
You cannot do it.
If you have.
He doesn't have it.
If you have nothing, so then no. But right, I guess as a curiosity, the Gemara is not going to discuss this. If Yatza Hashar, let's say the market value is set, So then, under those circumstances, would it be okay? I'm not sure. I'm just under those circumstances, I'm not sure. Tani Rabbi Chiya Lisiula Rabbi Yitzchak. So, and the Gemara now is going to quote a price, and the price is going to support Rabbi Yitzchak. That as long as you have a representative amount, so then you can borrow the commodity. How do I know that? Because the price says Tipa Shayin Ainlo, Tipa Shaman Ainlo. And by the way, Phil, this answers your question. Right, I don't have a drop of oil, I don't have a drop of wine. Under those circumstances, you can't borrow oil and you can't borrow wine. The diuk is very simple. Hayeshlo, lo vela kamatipin. So if you have a drop of oil, you have a drop of wine, so then you can borrow more. So you see that as long as you have a representative amount, doesn't have to be commensurate, so then you can borrow the commodity. Okay. So the Gemara just goes quickly ping pong back and forth. Gemara quotes in the name of Rav Nachman that the halacha does follow Hillel, but then the Gemara says, but that's not the halacha, that's not the accepted halacha. Okay, which again, Hillel's position back in the Mishnah is that you have to evaluate the price of the item that you borrow so that it turns into a simple monetary loan, and so therefore we never run into the problem of maybe the commodity which I pay back is going to be of greater value, but the Gemara says, but that's not the accepted halacha. The Chachamim of the opinion that people could borrow, people could pay back. So you have B'nei Chabur, you have members of the Chabura. who are makpidim one another. They're very strict on one another. There's no mechila. They're not mochel on one another. So under those circumstances, over mishum. So when they are being makpid on one another, and with precise measures, and so if I borrow, let's say I borrow, all right, a cup of flour. So then what I'm expecting you to pay me back now is absolutely a cup of flour. Over mishum mida, mishum mishkal, mishum minyan. So they're in violation of mida, mishkal, minyan. What does that mean? Generally speaking, we like people to be exact in their measures. Not only do we like it, it's a mitzvah in the Torah to be exact in their mishnas, in the measurements. Rashi points out over here that what we're talking about is on Shabbos. On Shabbos, you can't measure. In other words, on Shabbos and on Yontif. So you could borrow from your neighbor. Now on Yontif, it's a lot more practical because on Yontif, you're allowed to cook. So certainly you can understand how you're going to be borrowing a cup of flour. Shabbos also, I guess, you could borrow food that's that you're allowed to eat, that's readily edible. In either way, in other words, on Shabbos and on Yontif, you're not allowed to measure. And when cooking on Shabbos, so you have to approximate, but you're not allowed to measure. So for the people who are makbid zel zeh, so on Shabbos, when they're borrowing and paying back, so they're in violation of measuring on Shabbos. Umishum lovim aparim biyamtov. Ukedivrei hilo. I'm sorry. Umishum lovim aparim biyamtov. Also, borrowing and lending on yamtov, meaning rather than what the Gemara presented earlier, that people just simply give, it's a gift, and then you'll pay me back later, but I won't demand it from you. So that's fine. But if we are turning this into a business venture where you're borrowing a cup of sugar, hold on 1 second, let me go write this down. Now, obviously, on Yontif, you're not allowed to write, but still, even if you don't write it down, Gzeira, right there, it's a rabbinic decree that maybe it may end up writing it down. So for people who are makpidim zeh al zeh, so when you're lending and borrowing on Shabbos, you're in violation of measuring on Shabbos, the pitfall of perhaps even writing it down. Ukedivrei Hillel av mishum ribis. Now, if you subscribe to Hillel's viewpoint, which as we just pointed out, we don't, but if you did, so then also you're going to be in possible violation of ribis as well, as you're violating the Asur of Sabbosah. And the Gemara quotes in the name of Shmuel that Tamid Chachamim are allowed to borrow one against another. Beribis, what's the reason? Right, my time I'm mediada the ribis asura. They know that ribis is prohibited. And it's just simply I'm giving gifts. Right, I'm giving you a gift. In other words, what do you need? $100? Fine, here's $100. Matana, it's a gift, meaning you can pay me back, you don't have to pay me back, whatever. And then when he comes back and he gives him a little bit more, but again, these weren't loans, these were just simply gifts. Am leshmol avu abar ihi alveni me'al pilpulin, be'me'a ve'esrim pilpulin v'arich. And the Gemara follows up with a story. Shmuel says to his father, go ahead and lend me 100 pilpulin. And what's going to end up happening is you're going to get back 120 long ones. And as Rashi points out, the reason why all this is okay is because it wasn't expected that you're going to pay me back. These were just simply matanas that were going back and forth. Very interesting educational position of the Gemara. Lend money to your children on interest. Now, of course, you're not allowed to do that. Over here, it's educational. You want them to feel like what it's like to have to pay back a loan with interest. And if I would say more in a more modern convention, simply have them take out a credit card in their name, not in your name. They'll feel what interest feels like, and they won't like it. And it'll teach them, you know, before charging other people interest, you know what it felt like yourself. But the Gemara says, even though it may be a good educational model, lav milsihi mishum dasa lemisrach. But the Gemara says, but don't do that, because once you get into the habit of lending with interest, so then you're going to end up doing it, and it's going to be a bad habit that's going to stick with you. So even though educationally it may serve a function, but the Gemara says, but don't do that. That's not the halacha. Okay, Omer Adam l'chaver nachashimi v'anacheshimach. Okay, now, up until now, we are wrapping up the perek. Up until now, we talked about loans in terms of money. We talked about loans in terms of commodity. And now, at the end of the perek, we talk about loaning in terms of service. I'll work for you, you work for me. And so we're bartering now services one to another. Under normal circumstances, it's perfectly fine and legitimate, but if what you're going to pay me back is a service greater than what I provided you, so then this may smack of ribbis, and this may be an issue. And that's what our Mishnah is going to be discussing. So you'll work with me, you'll weed in my field, and I'll weed in your field. I'll hoe in your field, you'll hoe in mine. But it has to be equivalent services being provided one for the other. So If the services are not equivalent to one another, and so let's say I provide a service for you now, and you provide a service for me at a later point in time, and that service is greater, so then we are talking now about a potential problem of ribbis. Kol yemei garir echad, kol yemei revia achas. Now, in terms of leveling the playing field, I mean that here almost literally. In terms of leveling the playing field, so we're going to treat the summer month as one unit, we're going to treat the winter month as one unit. So that means that in the winter, it's harder to work the field. The field is soft, it takes more effort. It's a shorter day, whatever. Right, Rashi talks about the day. So basically, we're going to talk about the winter being one unit. Rivi actually means the rain season. But in other words, here, you don't have to, doesn't have to be a perfect measurement of day. It could be just simply during the winter months or during the summer months. And it's all considered one unit. So but what you cannot do is you cannot exchange services. I'll work for you during the summer. You'll work for me during the winter. That you cannot do. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Yesh ribis mugemis, Yesh ribis mucheres. Rabbi Gamliel says that there are examples of ribis which is early, ribis which is late. Examples. Ketzad. Nasan in avolavos emanevuhu mishalech lo varm ribis roshe talveni zu. I'm sorry, shetalveni zu ribis mugemis. So let's say you go to a potential lender, and you basically want to borrow money from him, but he's a little bit reluctant, so you send him a gift. So Rabbi Gamliel describes this as ribis mukdemis, meaning the gift is going to be a compensation for the fact that he's going to lend you money. So even though you pay him exactly what he bought, what you borrowed, but keep in mind that you gave him a gift in advance to kind of soften him up. That's an example of ribis mukdemis, which obviously means he can't do that. And if let's say post loan, you give him a gift, and you explain to him that the gift that I gave you was compensation for the fact that your money was by me, and there was opportunity lost, and I know I was holding on to your money for some time, so this is considered Ribbis Mocheris, and therefore that's also going to be prohibited as well. So Rabbi Shimon Amar, Yesh Ribbis Varim, so there can even go so far as Ribbis in the form of words. Lo Yamala Da Ki Ba Ki Ba Ish Poni Mi Makam Poni. you should not say to a person, you know, the person is the Ribbis Dvarim is just simply an example of where somebody lent you money and you're extra nice to the person. Da kiva ish poni b'makom poni. The elu over and below sase. Now who is included in the lav? Amav v'alov v'arav v'edim. So according to the Tanakama, the lender, borrower, guarantor, witnesses, v'chacham emomim afa sofer over mishum lo sitain. So I'm sorry, afa sofer over. Even the scribe who writes up the document is going to be in violation as well. And mishum lo siteinu, mishum al tikach mito, mishum lo siya lo kenosha, or mishum lo si simon alav neshech, or mishum v'lifnei iver lo siteinu mechshov v'yireisim alokecha ani Hashem. So a number of psukim in the Torah that a person is violating when involved in lending with interest. Tanya. The Gemara begins. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochanan minan lo nosh chaver mina ve'inu ragel akdim lo shalom. Sha'atzel akdim lo shalom. Normally you don't say hello to the person. And now he lent you money. And so you say hello to the person. That's kind of interesting. In general, you should say hello to everyone. I mean, that's, you know, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says is that you should be the first one advancing hello. But... Okay, I know it's not the polite way to talk, and certainly not the politically correct way to talk, and certainly from a Mido standpoint, you should behave much better. But he is not in your circle of friends, and now he lent you money, and all of a sudden, hello, how are you? So Tamalama Nesha Kol Davar Asher Yishach Afilu Dibur Aser, and the Kol Davar is understood over here by Derech Hadrush that the word Davar and Dibur are connected with one another, and so that means even words, even extra words that you normally wouldn't have advanced to him, if you advanced to him in addition to the loan, so that is also a violation of Ribbis. Veilu Over Mamar Abay Mava Over Bekulan. Now, in terms of the lender is going to be subject to the lav every pasuk that was quoted in the pasuk. Lover over mishum lo sashich, and the lover is going to be in violation of the pasuk lo sashich lachicha, or lachicha lo sashich v'lefnei iva lo sitei mechshol. So the borrower is going to be in violation of those three pasukim. Arei ve'edim. Now, as far as the guarantor, as far as the witnesses, ain't over him elam mishum lo sisim manalav neshech. They are setting up the loan, so therefore they're involved. They are involved in the pasuk of Losi Simon. They're the one who placed the loan, set it up. Tanya Rabbi Shimon Amar Malvi Ribis Yosim Mimashim Arvichem Avsidim. When it comes to the lenders, more than that which they are going to gain, they're going to lose. Meaning it is ultimately a losing proposition. Rashi reminds us of the Gemara we learned about 4 days ago, that your wealth is going to be mismotate. It's going to diminish, despite the fact that right now there is a current increase in your value, but you're going to lose it. V'lo od el shemisimim Moshe Rabbeinu Chacham v'sarasso emes. And on top of that, you are saying that Moshe Rabbeinu is very smart and his Torah is honest. This is a euphemism of the Gemara. Meaning you're saying just the opposite. By lending with interest, it's as if you're saying that that Moshe is so smart, meaning opposite. And the Torah is so honest, meaning euphemistically. The Gemara means opposite. Meaning because the Torah is saying don't do it, and you're saying, yeah, but you know what, I'm going to do it. And then v'omrim, eilu haya yodea Moshe Rabbeinu, shiyeh revach bedavar. And it's as if you're saying, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu, we're not that business savvy. Had Moshe Rabbeinu known that you could have made money profiting on lending with interest, so he never would have written this down in the Torah. Right? Ki'ilu, that's what you're saying when you're lending with interest. So that is the statement you're making. Let's say you lend a person money, and you know currently that he doesn't have what to pay you back. So don't try to be in his face. right? If you can, avoid him. You cannot be somebody who is demanding at all times. So you know he can't pay you back. So if possible, avoid the person. Rabbi Amiv Ravasi Darmitavai Kilo Danim Bishnei Dinim. Shenemar. It's as if he's being judged on multiple occasions. The pasuk says, "Hikafte anosor Rashena Bana Be'esh Uvamayim," being judged in fire, being judged in water, meaning the person who was unable to pay, you know, he continuously getting judged by the person who he owes the money to. Amar Avinu Marav, Kol Mishiyesh Lo Ma'os Amal Ve'Osan Shelo Ve'Edim Over Mishum Lifnei Ever Lo Sitei Mechshol. You have money, you lend the money, but you do so not in front of witnesses. So now there is plausible deniability that he doesn't owe you the money. So even though you trust him and he's a good friend, but truth be told is that what you're doing is you're violating the Isra of Lifnei Iver. You're putting a stumbling block in his way. You are giving him a chance too and a great opportunity to lie and to deny. Reish Lakish Amar Goren Klal Latzmo, causing a curse to yourself by lending money to others without witnesses. Shenemar Ta'alemna Sifsei Sheker Hadobros Atzadik Ata. Right, the pasuk describes how you are basically causing people to falsely promote themselves as not having owed the money. Amalei Rabban Ravashi Kamekayim Ravina Kol Mada Amar Rabbanan Shachle Bahade Panya Demale Shabasa. He sent the following on an Erev Shabbos. Lishter Limar Asara Zuzi De Israeli Katina De Ara Lemizbein. So the letter that he sent to him is as follows. It was Erev Shabbos, right before Shabbos, and he says, "Do me a favor, quick loan. I just have a buying opportunity. I could buy a piece of land." So he says back in exchange, "Well, yeah, sure. I know it's Erev Shabbos and things are really tight over here. And generally speaking, I would want witnesses and a contract. Nothing changes. I want witnesses and I want a contract. I'm not going to lend you the money unless we have witnesses and a contract." Afilo ani nami. So he says, "What, really? Even me? Meaning what? You don't trust me?" Shachle kol shekein mar detard begirsa mishtale v'gorim klal la'atzmo. And he says, "What do you mean? For not only even you, especially you, right? Your head is in the books. You're talmid chacham. You're constantly learning. You're constantly reviewing. You know what? I can easily imagine that. You know, I lend you the money, you'll forget about it. So no." In other words, I'm going to lend you the money, but only with witnesses and only with documentation. Three people are going to be crying out, and they're not going to be answered. And they are somebody who has money lends it out without witnesses. So later on, he's going to cry and scream. And who's going to listen to him? And nobody. And somebody who purchases a master for himself, to be explained momentarily. And number three, and if your wife dominates you, so now go ahead, complain, and who's going to listen? And the answer is nobody, and especially not your wife. So the, thank you. Right, yeah, correct. Okay. Okay, excellent. So Kona Adon La'atzmo. So Maihi. So number two, one of three were self-explanatory, right? Lending money with no witnesses. So you'll cry later on, you'll complain later on, but you have nobody to complain to but yourself. Okay, so go look in the mirror. And if your wife dominates you, so again, so you have nobody to complain to. But as far as number two, somebody who purchases a master for himself, not self-explanatory, needs explanation. The Gemara explains, "Ma'i iga d'armi tola nechasa b'nachri." So one suggestion of the Gemara is that you gave your money to a non-Jew. So now you are claiming you gave your money to a non-Jew, meaning somebody comes over to you and says, "Look, I know you're wealthy. You know, can I borrow some money?" And you say, "Oh, you know what? I don't have any on me." And you fabricate a story and you talk about how right now, currently, your money's tied up. Oh, he has it. And you identify somebody who has your money. So under those circumstances, so now, when the non-Jew hears about it, that you made a claim that he has that you have his money, yeah. So then he's going to say, "You know, he said it. And let's make it even better. He said in front of witnesses." So now what he's going to do is he's going to take those witnesses to court and he's going to make a claim against you. And look, You know, you admitted it, you said it, you said it in front of witnesses, so that's an example of kona adon la'atzmo. You're buying an owner for yourself, a master for yourself. Another suggestion of the Gemara, Igadami Akos Nechasav Levana Bechayev. Or let's say you give over all your assets to your child while you're still alive. And again, you do so for whatever reasons you want to do so. Right? We just had a day ago in the Gemara. Right? The person wanted to avoid his property going into somebody else's hands. So he transferred over to his child. So again, there may be good reasons why you're doing it, but then later on when you want to complain, you know, I got nothing, I gave it all to my kids, they have nobody to complain to. Iga da Amri, Davish le Baham Masa, Velo Azla Masa Achrina. A person has a bad reputation in this town, and he doesn't move out of town, he doesn't go to another town. So, whatever the circumstances that led to this point in time, it's time for him to move on. He doesn't move on, he's got nobody to complain to. Hadron Alach Ezu Neshach. That is the end of the fifth parak of the Masechta. Okay, let's go. We are now embarking on Parak Shishi, sixth parak of the Masechta. Okay, we are talking about hiring workers and the employer-employee relationship. Okay, this is the sixth parak of Bab Metzia. Socher Esa Umnim. We start with the Mishnah. The Mishnah talks about hiring workers. Vihitu Zed Zeh. And there was a deception done from one person to another. Now, as it will become clear in the Gemara, but I'll say it right now. Generally speaking, the focus that we're going to be talking about, certainly in the beginning of our perek, is going to be employer-employee. But the language of the Mishnah doesn't fit so well, because when we're talking about a miscommunication between an employer and employee, so normally the word is chazara, right? A retraction. Meaning that I committed to working, or I committed to hiring you, and then somebody rescinded the offer. So generally speaking, the word is the appropriate word to be used to describe that would be chazara. He's chozer. That's not what the Mishnah uses. The Mishnah uses hataya. Hataya means that there was a deception. But that's generally not the right word to describe it. So it will promote much of our discussion today on the beginning of the sixth parak in terms of what exactly is meant by the Mishnah, the first line of the Mishnah. Ein lam zel zel ataramus. Now, if there's a deception of one to another, so they have a complaint. And you're going to see that term a lot. And when the Mishnah uses the term, they have a complaint, that means that's all they have. Meaning it's not going to result in a financial obligation from one to another. It's just that I'm registering a complaint. Now, in general, a complaint is important because that's going to affect his reputation. And then he'll go from moving forward, you know, do you recommend him? Well, you know, there was a complaint lodged against him. And, okay, but Ein lo taramus means all he has is a complaint. There's no financial obligation. Well, quite frankly, we don't have enough information yet in the Mishnah to know what was the deception, when did the deception occur. So there's a lot of gaps that we need to fill into the Mishnah. We're going to do that later on. Now let's say it's the kind of employment where it is time sensitive. I need it now. Right? Let's say I told either the donkey driver or the kedar to bring various instruments, musical instruments, because we either have a wedding or a funeral. Okay, in the good old days they used to play instruments in the funeral. Okay. Not popularly done nowadays. I haven't seen it, but anyway, in the good old days, that's how it was done. So so obviously time sensitive, meaning there's a specific date for the wedding. So obviously, if I'm instructing him to do so, I'm hiring a courier to bring the instruments over for the wedding. So by him coming a day late, it's, you know, that's not good. So, and the same thing for a funeral also. Time sensitive. And so now, upolim la'alos pishtanom in a mishra, or let's say another time sensitive issue, I hire workers, I wanted to remove the flax from being soaked. If the flax is left soaking too long, ruins the flax. Another time sensitive issue. V'chol davar sha'aved. Now, these are just examples. Anything which is time sensitive. And if the workers do it a day later, we're going to lose it. So, v'chazru bahem, and what happens now is that the workers say, sorry, even though we committed to doing the job, we are now backing out. So, makum she'en sham adam socheleem o mat'an. So, if nobody else is available to do it at the same cost, So then you're going to hire somebody else, even if the hiring of somebody else is going to require you to pay more, not a problem. You'll pay more. The difference will be charged to the person who backed out. Or, says the Mishnah, you'll deceive them. We will talk later on in the Gemara exactly how that deception is going to work. But in other words, if they made an original commitment to do so and they back out, so either they're going to have to pay the difference of the whatever it's cost going to, for you to get it done, or you'll deceive them, which we'll identify later on. If you hire workers and they retract, you see, by the way, here we have in the Mishnah the word chazara. Right, so so if you hire workers and they retract, yadam al hatachzona. So now you are in the driver's seat, they're in the back seat. I say that by way of analogy. Rashi, the last Rashi on the Amud, writes, im hukru po'olim ve'ino motzeh mishiyig marenu, b'schar sh'aya magia le'elu al ha'asid, la'asos me'akev miskar mimasha asu koma sh'itztarech, la'otzi ad sh'tigamar malachto, b'schar sh'pasak im elu. So, if let's say, halfway through the job, the workers decide, you know what, we're going to quit. And they agree, and they committed. They committed to finish the job. And I'm sorry, parenthetically, and this is important, and it's an earlier Rashi, we're talking now about a job which is kablanus, meaning it is not, they're not being paid by the hour, they're getting paid for the job. Okay, that's an important point. And it's an important point because, as we will discussing, we've already said it before, but we're going to say it again, when you're a worker, when you're a daily worker, so you can quit halfway through the day. Meaning if you're getting paid by the hour, so if, let's say, halfway through the day you've had enough, so you have a right to stop working. But over here, when you've accepted upon yourself kablanos, which means that you accepted upon yourself to complete a particular job, and you're getting paid by the job, not by the hour, so now rescinding halfway through puts you now in a... It puts you, the employee, in a bad position, and the employer in the driver's seat. Again, let me just do the Rashi again. What does that mean, that you're in a bad position? So, im hukru po'alim. So let's say halfway through you backed out, and now for him to hire new workers, it's going to cost him more. Granted, of course, that they're only doing half the job, but still, it costs more money for them to do the second half of the job. You can't find somebody to finish the job for the equivalent pay of what you were ready to pay the first workers. So that means now that whatever more you have to pay the second workers, you're simply going to deduct it from the first workers. Now let's go in the other direction. Let's say halfway through the job, the first workers quit. And now you find second workers, and it happens to be that you find second workers on the cheap. So, again, you're in the driver's seat, and the first workers are not in the driver's seat. And that now means, says Rashi, the yimatzi shemin gomenu bepachos, yasum lahem asha asu. So now you are going to approximate. V'yitein lahem asha pasuk, asu chatzai yitein lahem chatzis charam. V'ein yichon lomar lo, harei po'olam acherim, tachtenu ligmor melachta v'tein lanu kos charenu. Now, because you ended up getting second workers on the cheap, so now the first workers can't say, look, this is what you were prepared to pay for the job. It happens to be that you got now a break because your second workers you found on the cheap. You should give us the difference. So once again, they have no right to say that. They backed out halfway through the job. So you're in the driver's seat. They're not in the driver's seat. So they're only going to get paid half the work that they did. And the savings is going to be enjoyed by the employer. Chutz mimasha not lueilu. Okay. Im Baal HaBayis, we're on the top of Ayin Vav Amud Aleph. Im Baal HaBayis Chozer Bo Yadol HaTachtona. Now, if the Baal HaBayis rescinds his offer, so then the workers are going to be in the driver's seat, and effectively whatever we said previously, just flip it, reverse it, and that's going to be true over here. And finally, the Mishnah tells us, a Mishnah that we saw back in Baba Kama, we're going to see this again later on the Masechta as well, Kol HaMishana Yadol HaTachtona. If you make any type of change or deviation, so you are going to be, you're not going to have the upper hand. And as Rashi points out, and we saw this back in Baba Kama, simple example, let's say you give wool to a dyer, and you tell him to dye it, and your instructions are very clear, red, and then the wool comes back to you, dyed, black. So now, normally you would have to pay him, and you'd have to pay him, right, whatever the agreed contract was. But now, he dyed it the wrong color. So now you pay him. What do you pay him? So, obviously, there were expenses that he put in. There was an increase in price in the wool, from an undyed wool to dyed wool. Whichever is the less of that two, that's what you pay him, but that's all you pay him. Because he deviated. He didn't do what he was instructed to do. In which case?
In any case, where there's an agreement beforehand, one of them is reneging on the terms of the agreement.
Oh, could be. It could be. And, but again, Mishapar is a curse. It's not a financial liability. But you could be right. And then, in terms of retraction, again, this is what the Mishnah has been teaching us all along, but the Mishnah is just giving us a summary statement, is that if you retract, so you're not going to be in the driver's seat. Okay. Okay, Adkan, so far we got in the Mishnah a very, very rough outline of basically in a relationship of an employee and employee. So if there is a commitment to do a job, you have to abide by the commitment. Both parties have to abide by the commitment. If there is a retraction, so then there's going to be a financial penalty. That's the rough outline that we got in the Mishnah. What we're going to be spending a lot of time on right now is that first line of the Mishnah. The first line of the Mishnah does not read well. First of all, there's almost no details. But on top of that, the word that's used, the verb that's used to describe is hitu, which is a deception. And that word is not normally used. In fact, I showed you in the Mishnah that when we're talking about an employer, employee, the general word that's used is chazara, a retraction, meaning I agreed to a certain commitment and then I retracted from that. The first line in the Mishnah is using the word hitu, which is a deception. Who's deceiving whom? So, the Gemara starts off with this question. Chazru, zeh, bazeh, lo ketani elehitu zeh et zeh. So, it doesn't use the word chazar in the first line of the Mishnah. It uses the word hatu. Da'atu po'al amadadi. And generally speaking, hitu, deception, is same level. Meaning, the employee is deceiving another employee. But like, what are we talking about? Meaning, the contracted obligation of employment is employer to employee. Employee to employer. What are we talking about where one employee is deceiving another employee? How does that make any sense? Hey, chidami. So I'm going to use the word general contractor. I'm not sure if that's really a fair description, but it sounds well. It sounds nice. I'm just, my only cautionary tale over here is that a general contractor may be more than just simply another employee. But, okay, it may be a shliach, right. So, my use of the word general contractor over here is not to be taken so super literally, but certainly it gives us the right sense of what the Gemara is trying to communicate. So, So the owner says to the contractor, look, you'll hire for me. Meaning, I should be hiring the workers, but you're going to hire for me. Now, and so when he hires the workers, so he's misrepresenting what they're going to get paid. Now, let's get more details. Hey, chidami. So let's say the homeowner said, I'm ready to pay 4 zuzim per day for workers. And now the general contractor goes and he hires people for 3 a day. Now, Tairamas Mayavidate, Savavakabo. So the Gemara says, okay, so the contractor should now get a pat on the back. And in fact, they heard 3, they agreed to 3. There's no deception over here. Granted, the homeowner was ready to pay more, but ultimately, they were offered 3, they accepted 3 to get paid 3. Okay, there's no deception. So, and if the homeowner said 3, and they accept, and the contractor offered 4, say, now, the general contractor was ready to pay the difference, so that's it, so he's ready to pay the difference. If I hire workers to work in somebody else's property, not my own. And I know it sounds strange, but I didn't get permission from him. But in other words, but he benefited from the workers that I hired. And I hire them at a certain price, I have to pay whatever price I agree to offer them. And the fact that the homeowner now benefited, so he'll pay for the benefit. Now, I know it's a strange discussion because maybe he didn't want the benefit. But for our purposes, let's assume that the accrued benefit was good for him. He enjoyed it. He only has to pay for the benefit, but he doesn't have to pay whatever price was promised by the contractor. So the Gemara says, so if the contractor, if the homeowner said 3, and the contractor told them 4, so it's on the contractor now to pay that difference, that one's his difference. So lo tzricha damu schachem abalabayis. So the Gemara says that under these circumstances where he said to the workers, I'm offering 4 and it's the Baal Bais' responsibility to pay 4, and meanwhile the Baal Bais only said he was ready to pay 3. So the Gemara says, V'lechze po'olam hech mitagre. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. Why is all this even a discussion? Isn't there a general understood amount that workers are getting paid? And so, shouldn't the fair market value of what employment is dictate the number? So, the Gemara says, no, this particular case is a range. The range is somewhere between 3 and 4. So now, since there's a range, and since the workers were told 4, and now the homeowner said that he was only ready to pay 3, and since there was a range, so therefore they're going to get paid 3. Their taina is an excellent taina, meaning the workers. They're going to say, yeah, but you know what? Yes, 3 is within acceptable range, but so is 4. And even though we agree that whatever the homeowner is going to pay us, that we're going to accept, but you said 4, therefore we thought 4, and we could have found somewhere else that would have paid us 4. So therefore they have a complaint. But again, that's all they have. They have a complaint because they did inevitably agree that whatever the homeowner is going to pay them, that's what they're going to accept. Okay. Ibai Sema. So, after all said and done, we have one working pshat in our Mishnah. We'll have more, but we have right now one working pshat in our Mishnah. The Mishnah says that there was a deception from one worker to another worker. Case is, so far, where there's a range of acceptable payment, somewhere between 3 and 4. The contractor said to the workers, you know, the homeowner is ready to pay you 4. The homeowner said no such thing. He was only ready to pay 3. And the contractor said, but it's not going to be upon me to pay you, it's going to be on the homeowner to pay you. Under such circumstances, so now there was a deception. They do have a legitimate complaint, but that's all they have. Because they did accept the terms of to be paid by the homeowner, and 3 is within the acceptable range of what employment is. Ibai Zema, another pshat in the Mishnah. Hachabe balabai saskinan da amarle ilav da amart lan barba havazila ban milsa ladgure. It could very well be that the worker here in question is himself a landowner, a homeowner. In other words, this is a worker who's got his own properties. And so for him to hire himself out to work for somebody else, my time is very precious. My time is very valuable. And so therefore, had it not been for, there's no way I would have accepted it for anything less than 4 because I got my own properties. That's another possibility of what the Mishnah is dealing with. Or the Gemara says, or maybe we're just talking about regular workers. And so the Gemara says, and their taina, their claim is, you said 4. And again, we know we agreed to whatever the homeowner was going to pay for us. But because we agreed to receive 4, we were ready to work for 4, we did quality work. We did phenomenal work. And, so the Gemara says, okay, that may be a claim of theirs. Why don't we take a look and see if, in fact, their work was really super quality work? So the Gemara says, "Berifka." So the Gemara says, "Well, they were digging a ditch." The Gemara says, "Okay, Rifka, not being made the yaday." So the Gemara says, "Digging a ditch? Let's take a look. So the Gemara says, Demalia Maya. So the ditch was already filled with water, so the work is no longer viewable, and we don't know the quality. Velo Yadia. And therefore we don't know. Okay. So where do we stand right now? In our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about a deception. Generally, deception is from one worker to another worker. What are we talking about? So generally, what we've done is we come up over various ways where, even though the workers agreed to work for the employer, and there was a range of what's acceptable, somewhere between 3 and 4, and even though the contractor said 4, but he says, but you're only going to get paid from the Baal Bayis, meaning this is not on my account, this is on a Baal Bayis' account, and they agree, so Baal Bayis can pay them 3 because it's within the range of acceptable, and the fact that they agree to 4, they have a complaint. And on what basis can they complain? So we've already, the Gemara made a number of proposals of basically under what grounds they can complain. Okay. Now, Ibai Seyma La'olam Da'amalei Baal Bayis Barabava Azal Iyu Amalei Betlasa. And the Gemara gives one other suggestion going back to our Mishnah. A suggestion would be is that the Baal Bayis said 4, Va'azal Iyo Amalei Betlasa, and the contractor said 3, and they heard the contractor and they agreed to 3, Udikamart Safar Vikabel, and what about the fact that they heard 3, they agreed to 3, and the Gemara earlier said, why do they even have a complaint? The Gemara says, Well, they have a complaint based on a Pasuk and Mishlei. Pasuk and Mishlei says, if you have an opportunity to provide something good for somebody, and you withhold that good, and then, you know what, he does have a legitimate complaint. Meaning, the contractor had a budget of 4, and he could have offered them 4, and that's what the Baal Bayis was ready to pay them. And the contractor decided, you know what, let me try to save a little bit. So under those circumstances, yes, their complaint is, you could have given us 4, you withheld good with that from us. That's not right. That's their complaint. Okay. Okay, Pshita. Okay. And let's start this quickly right now. We are doing really well in terms of catching up to where we need to be. E amarle Baal Bayis betlasa. Let's say the Baal Bayis said I'm ready to pay 3 zuz a day. Ve'azal iyo amarle arba. And the contractor says he's ready to pay you 4. Ve'amarle kamosha amar Baal Bayis. And the workers say, whatever the Baal Abaya said, the Atayu Ailuya. Now, they didn't know the Baal Abaya said 3. They only heard the contractor saying, offering to them 4. And even though they said, whatever the homeowner says, that wasn't to lessen the amount that was given to them. That was just simply, as Rashi explains over here, 4 was like the minimum, that was the floor. From their perspective, in other words, nothing less than 4. If the Baal Bayis is ready to offer more, okay, that's fine. But don't take their statement super literally, especially when the number 4 was presented to them. They only meant floor as being a floor being a floor. Fine. Ela iamale Baal Bayis barba vazel yamar labetlasa v'amri kamashamar Baal Bayis mai. But here's where we can have room for interpretation and debate. Let's say the Baal Bayis was ready to offer 4. The contractor offered, went to the workers and said 3, and their response is whatever the Baal Bayis said. So now, adibur didei kasam chedamrelei mehem aslan da'achyamar Baal Bayis. So when they are agreeing, even though the words are whatever the Baal Bayis said, whatever the Baal Bayis said as reported to them by the contractor, odilma adibur de Baal Bayis kasam che. Or maybe no. Maybe, as far as the contractor is concerned, well, you know about those contractors, and they're not always honest, and they're not always forthright, and so therefore, they open themselves the door of, well, whatever the homeowner said, and if the homeowner said more, that's what we're agreeing to. So, this is, the Gemara says, this is where we have a open-ended discussion, where we could see it in one of two ways. So again, if the Baal Bayis said 4, and the contractor said I'm sorry. If the Baal Bayis said three and the contractor said four, and they said whatever the Baal Bayis said, well, they heard four, it's for sure no less than four. The Gemara says that's Pashat. If the Baal Bayis said four, and the contractor said three, and their response is whatever the Baal Bayis said, so the Gemara says, I could see this in one of two ways, and we're going to be discussing tomorrow whether or not, when they hear something, and they say whatever the Baal Bayis says, are they believing the report that's given to them through the contractor? We'll compare this to the case, a similar case of Get, which we'll start with tomorrow, and we'll see whether or not the way it was reported to them is the way that they understood it, or not necessarily.